But here we are this morning, ready to get in God's word. So if you can, please stand with me out of reverence. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Today, we're looking at verse 11 up to verse 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, just like we sang in that song, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, whom is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Father, we thank you again for such an amazing privilege that we have right now. We are here as a family, as a community, with your word open before us. And we desire that you would be our teacher this morning. So please come, Holy Spirit, help us to understand and know the depth of the blessings that Paul has been laying out in this portion of scripture. And so, God, refresh our memory of what we've already learned and help us to pick up where we left off. And again, I'm just so thankful that your presence is with us and that, God, your word will do exactly what it promises. It will never return void. It will be planted in our hearts. And we ask, God, that you would help us bear that fruit to glorify your name. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So definitely a little recap. We're not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but when we first began this letter a while ago, Paul's purpose in starting off this letter with a reminder, and that reminder to the saints in Ephesus was of God's plan for their life, to unfold the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And I pray that all of us would understand today, if we are in a right relationship with God, it is solely because of Jesus Christ and him alone. There is nothing that any of us could ever do that will merit favor with him and gain us a spot in heaven. It is all because of what Jesus has already done. And so God has laid out a plan for all those who place their faith in Jesus, who believe in the finished work of the cross. And God's plan is to bless you. You know, yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to go see one of my grandkids play soccer. And, you know, they're 4 and 5 year olds, and you know how that goes. Some of them are just squirrel and they're off. But my grandson scored a goal, right? Yeah. And then a little while later, I mean, he was so close to so many other times, and then he scored again, and then he went to the center and he did this. Right? He was proud of it, man, and I was proud of it, you know, and I'm like, oh, let's bless him. Let's go take him to get ice cream. But I didn't do it. Bad papa. But we want to reward those who do things that are well, and God's desire in blessing those who believe in his son. Paul reminded these saints, you have been granted every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So what does this tell us? That God doesn't hold anything back from us. What a blessing to know. It's not like one of those things where it's the elite members only. God welcomes everybody. And if you have a desire to know what God's plan is for all of humanity and also for your own life, listen, where can you find it? In his word. It is our responsibility to dig into the word of God to know what is going to happen in this world. Can I just give you a little bit of advice? If you are putting all of your hope and trust in our government and in our president, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because the only one who can change our world, once again, is Jesus. And so all we need to do is dig in. And so what are the blessings that Paul laid out for us even in the beginning of our study, all the way back to verse 3? Well, here they are. God has a plan for your life. When did he create this plan? Before he even created anything. Think about that. Before he created anything, his thoughts were upon you and upon me. So he created this amazing plan for our life. And what was it? That he would call us to be his own. Man, that's some good news. Come on now, if you think you're not loved, I want you to know today, God loves you. And not only does he love you, but I also want you to know this. He's called you to be his own, and he's called you to live a life of holiness. Not perfect, not sinless, though that is a desire of our heart to sin less and less. But God's desire is that our life would be set apart for his personal use. So not only did God open up this door for us, but he also has given us the privilege of being adopted. You know, my wife and I have been also in our downtime, watch this show about people who have been adopted. And they, years and years later, want to discover who their real parents are. And there's some amazing testimonies. It's amazing to see, though they haven't had any contact over 40, 50 years, and yet the moment they see each other, the immediate connection that they have and the tears and all of that that takes place. But some of them have thanked those who had given them up for adoption when a lot of times people look at it as a negative thing. But can I just tell you today, it's not. Praise God that he welcomes us into his family. If you have any, you know, discouragement today, I want you to meditate upon this, that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ today, listen, throughout this day, can I tell you that it brought God great joy to welcome you into his family? Okay, let that sink in. You know, some of us may not have had a really good experience at home. Some of you have maybe left home before it was time. Maybe you just were so fed up with home that you split. Whatever it may have been in this earthly experience, can I just tell you, being adopted into God's family is the greatest experience. And so you'll discover that God's family will at times be there for you more than your immediate family. That's the beauty. That is the blessing of being a part of God's family. Even while we were in England, people who we didn't even know, the team that went with us, we heard the testimonies. Thank you so much for supporting us for the past 25 years in prayer. This is what family does. We're there for each other. So God has done all of these things, and I want you to see this really quickly. It was God who planned all of this. Once again, he predestined it. He did all of this beforehand. And in this next section that we covered, we looked at how God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, fulfilled God's plan. How did he do that? It was Jesus and Jesus alone who was the one who completed God's perfect plan of redemption. We see in the scriptures that Jesus became the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. And so with his own blood, he purchased our freedom. This was the price that Jesus paid to set us free from being eternally separated from God. This is an amazing gift. And because of what Jesus did, along with being set free from sin, we've also, listen, been forgiven of every single sin we've ever committed. Man, that should have seen that. I should have heard this place roaring with an amen. Because I know some of y'all. And many of you are going, yeah, and I know you. Can you just even try and consider what that is, that every single wrong that we've ever committed, everything that we've ever done against God's word, he's been willing to forgive, that he would open up this door for us. And it's not just because I say so. The Bible tells us this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us this: if we confess our sins, he, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I would encourage you, underline that. All unrighteousness. No matter what sin you've been a part of, You confess it, God is faithful and powerful enough to forgive it. Here's another beautiful truth to hang on to. God not only forgives us of all of our sins, but he now chooses not to remind us of our sins. Come on now, that's some good stuff, right? How many of you remember a time, hopefully it's not recent, but when you did something wrong and you just burned somebody's, you know, you burned a bridge or you offended somebody and you go up, you literally are convicted by God and you want to go and ask for forgiveness. It's a hard thing to do. But you go and then all of a sudden you put yourself out there and then that person looks at you and goes, well, you did this. I'm not ready to forgive you right now. That's hard, right? But can we thank the Lord that he doesn't do that for us? Amen. Like he doesn't do that toward us? Psalm 103 verse 12 tells us this, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That is beautiful. So Jesus opened up the door for all of this to take place. And when we look at the freedom that we have in Christ, these spiritual blessings that we've been given, listen, many people have the misunderstanding that the freedoms that we now have are given to us so that we could do whatever we want. That's what we call cheapening God's grace. You see, the reason why Jesus set us free is so that we could be free from sin and now be given the choice and the freedom to live for him, to accomplish his will. And it is interesting, the more that we study God's word, the more that we dig into the word of God, this is what you're going to discover. Sin brings ugly consequences. Sin may promise you freedom, but all it will do is bring punishment. But when you live for the Lord, here's what we discover. God's grace brings life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And so all of these blessings that we have been just going through and Paul has been laying them out for us, here's one other thing. God has given us as a blessing is wisdom, understanding, and discernment. When you lean on God, he is the one that illuminates what is before you and gives you the opportunity to know what steps to take. And I'll tell you this, when you do trust him, even when it doesn't make sense, God shows himself faithful. God will continue to help us as we walk with him, as we turn away from our old nature and now live in the new. And this is also, again, if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you will discover this. God will reveal to you not only his overall plan for all of humanity, but he's got a specific plan for you. Okay? God has a specific purpose for you. And the reason why many people are running around crazy is because the fact that they're trying to figure out what that plan is on their own without going to God. I pray that all of us would know what this plan is and that we would give all of it, give all of our heart to living out this plan. And so not only did we have these blessings, but now as we get ready to pick up in verse 11, notice what it says here, because Paul is going to expound again in verse 11 and 12. In him, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So here in these next two verses, for those who have placed their faith in Jesus, that's what it means in him, have obtained an inheritance. Now, in order for us to understand what Paul is saying here, I'm pretty sure all of us can grasp what an earthly inheritance is. Many of us may have experienced parents who have passed and they in advance wrote out a will and have given their possessions over to their kids or their grandkids or somebody else that they loved. They put their names down on this will. And of course, just like any earthly inheritance, the only way that you can inherit those possessions is when the person dies. They get all of the things that have been written down on that will. They become the beneficiaries of it. And in like manner, what is Paul telling us? Out of love for you and me, God once again predestined, he in advance decided beforehand to bless you who believe in Christ. When Christ died, those who placed their faith in him would become the beneficiary of God's will. I want you to see this. Just like an earthly, again, inheritance, your name was written in God's will. And the treasures and the riches that God wants to give you far supersedes those of this earth. I'm not here to be a killjoy, but all of the earthly treasures that we have before us today will fade away. And here's the thing, when you die, you don't take them with you. That bumper sticker lies. The one with the most toys wins. Because the reality is, the one with the most toys blesses other people. Just saying. So if any of you want to put me on your will, I'm all for it. But out of love, God thought of this plan. God had a desire to bless you and me with an inheritance. And in this inheritance, what is it? Why is it such a blessing? Here it is, because it's an eternal blessing. It's the gift of everlasting life. It's the gift of salvation. It's the gift of heaven that God is desiring to give you and me. And what the difference is between an earthly inheritance and the inheritance that we have in Christ is this. Earthly possessions, once again, are temporary. And if not managed correctly, can be wasted. How many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? This is a cold story. Remember, the only way in a legal contract for a person to receive an inheritance, parents have to die. What did this son do? Basically walked up to his dad and said, I don't want to wait till you're dead. Give me what belongs to me now so that I can go off and do what I want to do. And the amazing thing about the prodigal son's story is the father gave it to him. And as he wasted it. He partied. He lived a wild lifestyle. He became everybody's friend. Have you ever noticed that? But then when your pocket is empty, where'd everybody go? And he audience. And the powerful picture of this story is this, that he was down to the curb. How bad? And wishing that he had the food that those pigs were eating. He was rock bottom, as they would say in the Gen Z world. He was tore up from the floor up. Okay? But what did he do? What did he end up doing? Coming to his senses, realizing that the things that this world had to offer that promised him all this joy left him broken and empty. He went back home. And it was the father who was looking. It was the father who had his eyes gazed upon the direction that his son left. And what did the father do? When he started seeing from a distance his son coming to him, his father went running to him. It wasn't because he was going to scold him or chew him out. But in the condition that his son was in, you can just imagine his clothes were probably tore up. He probably still smelled like a pig. And yet, the moment that his father was in that closeness of him, it says that the father wrapped his arms around him, took off his robe, or called for a robe to be put on him, bring him some sandals, put a ring on his finger. My son was lost. Now he is found. It's an amazing picture of God's love, his grace, his mercy. Even when we don't deserve it, God gives it. And all of this, again, is why God's inheritance is so much different, because his gift will never fall short. His gift will never waste away. His gift will never lose value. His gift is for all eternity. This is the blessing. This is the inheritance that God desires to give those, key phrase, who are in Christ. Doesn't mean every person is excluded, because God opens up the door for every person to receive this gift. It's available, but the only ones who will obtain it are those who place their faith in the finished work of the cross. So our inheritance has eternal value. How do we know that's true? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, think about this. Our inheritance for those who are in Christ is incorruptible. What does this mean? It's imperishable. Again, it never loses its value. It never decays. It will be everything that you will ever need. It's another word here is undefiled. It's not polluted. It's not corrupt. This gift isn't given to us for selfish motives. It was given to us out of a pureness of heart, out of love. Once again, God gave us a gift that none of us deserve. So God is amazing in the sense that even though we've been stained because of sin, he welcomes us, cleans us up, embraces us, and then gives us this opportunity to be with him for all eternity. And the beauty of this gift, this inheritance, is in heaven. This is what I want us to see. It can never be taken away from you. I'm not going to date anybody here, but of course in history, there was a time in the 1930s and 40s, I believe it was called what? The Great Depression. Everybody, majority of the people, lost everything they had. We also experienced it a little bit later in history, around 2007, 2008, I believe, when the economy literally crashed. Can we thank God that his inheritance and the blessing we have in him will never crash? Amen. That the gift that he wants to give you will not be taken away? You don't have to pay taxes on it. Praise the Lord. Nobody's going to steal it from you. It's an amazing gift that we've been given out of love. And God is the one who gives it. And God didn't just come up with this plan. It's been on his heart before he created everything. And I hope and pray that even as now you heard those things, that we would literally then fulfill what it says in verse 12. Because if you hear the blessings that we received from salvation, from being set free from sin, from being adopted into God's family, from knowing that God loves us so much, he wants to spend eternity with us, that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. After hearing these things that we see, verse 12 tells us that we should be praising him. Okay? That we should have, when we sing, "There's house in the joy of the Lord today," that's what we should be saying. We should be excited at the fact that we have this all reserved for us. You know, there's some times when God brings practical, personal examples into our life to bring his truth. I'm going to give you one. Okay? Many of you know me, and you know what my favorite food is.
Burrito.
I had this crazy idea to start running. I know. It's crazy. But I wanted to do a father-daughter type thing. My daughter married into a family of runners. And I remember we agreed that I would help her in one of her runs. It's called the Ragnar Run. I didn't run it. I just volunteered to drive the van. But there's a rotation of runners, and my daughter did a few of the runs, and I told her, baby, I really want to run with you, but you know, your dad just, he'll hurt himself. And so I told her, I said, what if I, on your very last run, I jump out and run the last mile with you? And she's all like, bring it. So I waited till after she ran 6 miles one day, 8 miles the other day, and then on the last day, she only had to do 6 miles, but I only joined her for the last mile. And I was still huffing and puffing. And then I agreed, this is crazy, I agreed to do a half of a half, that I would actually run with her. I signed up for it. I started training for it. It's crazy. And on the day of the race, I'm all like, okay, let's do this, baby. Come on, princess, it's me and you. We started running, and I had my little, you know, I had the socks, I had the nice shoes. I looked like I could run. But all of a sudden, we're going, and we're a crowd of people, and we're trying to just run slowly, just try to get a groove. And the next thing I know, I hear my little headphone go, you have completed 1 mile. All right, feeling good. We keep going, and there's still a little bit of a crowd, and we get past them, and now we're picking up our stride, getting a nice rhythm going, and my daughter's like a few feet behind me, and she's like, just go, Dad, just go. But we're supposed to do this together. Just go. All right. Kept running, and then the headphone went off again. You have completed 3 miles. Ooh. I'm all like, oh, yeah, bring it, right? And as I started going toward mile 4, I had another, not my headphone, but another voice come to me. What are you doing? And by the time I looked back and I was trying to wave my daughter up, and I'm like, come on, just come up here with me because I don't want to run by myself. She said, just keep going, Dad. I'm right here with you. And then I was like, I'm not going to. So I slowed down, which was my mistake. And when I slowed down, she's all like, okay, Dad, let's do it. So we started running. And when I hit mile 5, my body kept telling me, stop. But then my daughter was telling me, you got this. I'm right here with you. We can do this. And then, of course, because I didn't look at the official route, I didn't realize, I thought it was only a 6 mile run, but it was a 6.5 mile run. So when I hit 6 miles and my headphone went off, where's the finish line? And they made this course where you had to go this way, and this way. And I'm all like, if I don't see a finish line, I'm gonna hurt somebody. But then the finish line was there. And the moment we crossed that finish line, listen, I fell. I was hauled off into the medic. But I finished. It was hard. It's nothing I would ever want to do again. But the reward of putting that medal on with my daughter and taking a photo with her was priceless. And this is the beauty that we have with our inheritance with God, because not only do we have an amazing inheritance waiting for us in heaven, but the beauty is that we can also enjoy it today. We get to embrace this amazing gift that God has given us called everlasting life. This gift of being born again, no longer spiritually dead, we're spiritually alive. And I want you to understand and know this. It's not only right for us to praise the Lord, because no matter what's going on in our world, in our life right now, though it may be difficult and hard, just like my body was saying, quit, your circumstances may be telling you, quit on God because nothing's happening. But I'm here to tell you, if you trust in Him, and you seek him, you will find him. And when you find him, he will give you the strength and the ability that you need today to be a light for him, to bring him glory. And so this is an amazing thing that we have an opportunity to live out, to praise God for the inheritance that we've been given, not be arrogant about it, not walk around and call out those who may not know the Lord. I'm going to heaven. You're not. That's not what God wants. God wants us to share this inheritance. And I also want us to see this, because as we pick up in verse 13 and 14, notice this. We can be assured of the inheritance that we got. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You see, Paul was reminding these saints in Ephesus how everything began, to remind them that this is all God's grace and his sovereignty. And planning all of these things beforehand, it shows his complete authority and control over all things. But he was reminding them that you received this gift because of Jesus once again. And how did they receive this gift? Because they heard the word of truth. Many of you know this Bible passage, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. They heard the gospel message. They heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And not only did they hear it, but it says that they placed their trust in that. They believed that Jesus came into this world. They believed he died a death that he did not deserve. And they believed that he rose again from the grave. That is the true gospel message. And when you believe this, Paul's saying, this is what happened. When you placed your faith in Christ, you were then sealed. The word sealed here means to be or become designated and made secure as a sign of authenticity or ownership. In other words, the moment that you and I would believe in Jesus, God placed his seal of ownership on you. That God himself, just like a legal contract, when there are two parties that make an agreement, what seals the deal? A signature on the dotted line. For those of you who may have a desire to get married and you may be courting or dating somebody, what do you normally do before the wedding? What is the first ring that you offer? An engagement ring. That means you're committed, that you want to be committed to this person, and not just saying it, but the demonstration of giving a ring is saying, I'm all in. I don't care about anybody else. I desire you. And so this seal, again, just like a legal document, completes the transaction. What transaction? That we are no longer in darkness, but we belong to Jesus. Come on now, this is God saved you out of the pit that you and I were in to bring us up and say, now you're my son or you're my daughter. That's some good news. So Jesus has given us this seal. He's promised us help. And we can find this in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. The purpose of us receiving this Holy Spirit is God's Spirit now dwells within us, helping us to live out God's will. How many of you have ever tried living and walking in obedience to God's word in your own strength? Or how about this? How many of you have ever tried to read the Bible before you came to know the Lord and just scratched your head and said, this is crazy? But the moment we receive Christ, what happens? The Holy Spirit dwells within us, enlightens and exposes darkness, and allows us to see the truth of who God is. This is the power and the beauty of the gift that we've been given. This seal not only is a seal of ownership, but also it's a seal of our inheritance. It shows that God is serious when he says that I love you and I want to be with you forever. It is an opportunity for us to see that God's word and his work are inseparable. That everything that God says will come true. That everything God promised will come to pass. Problem is for us is we're too impatient. We want it now. And let's be real. If you look around today, how many of us are praying, Lord, can you just come right now? Yes. Right? There's nothing wrong with praying that. But do you realize that God in his perfect timing will decide when that will happen? So this guarantee of our inheritance basically means God will be faithful to his word. And I want to read what Warren Wiersbe commentary said on this one particular verse. God is the one who seals. Christ is the sphere in which the seal is done. And the Holy Spirit is the instrument of that seal. In other words, for God's will to be fulfilled, all of us need his spirit to accomplish it. So what does this reveal to us? Not only God sovereign, not only is God in control, but God set us up for victory. He's given us everything that we need to live out his very word. So God is the one who has come up with this plan. And in the same way, listen, in the same way, if you were serious about buying a home today, you put a down payment on it. God is so serious that he put his seal, that he's given you his spirit as a down payment of the future inheritance that you will receive. Here is the beauty that I want us to walk away with today. We belong to him. You can clap for that. Praise the Lord. Here's another thing that we can be thankful for. He will keep his promise. How about this? Whenever you look at the world and you see that things are going sideways, dark, as if there is no hope, remember, we do not live here. Our inheritance is with the Lord. We are pilgrims passing through. And as I said already, he will be faithful to keep his word. So this morning, what's our takeaway? What is it that I want us to be challenged with? After hearing all of the blessings that we have received from Christ, I want to challenge us with this. Are you and I living in the freedom that God has given us? Remember the blessings that Paul laid out. No longer disconnected from God. You've been brought into a right relationship with God. How faithful are you in spending time with God? How many times are you throughout the middle of the week are spending time reading your Bible? How many times throughout the middle of the week are you actually talking with the Lord? I'm pretty sure that all of us really communicate good with God when we're in trouble. Our prayers become more earnest. We're praying more. But then when everything is good, are you still trusting in God when your circumstances are telling you that God's not even in the picture? Because we sang it. This last song that we trust in God, that he's our blessed assurance. I heard you sing it. I was sitting right there. All of you were hands. Some of you are hands raised, belting it out. But when trouble comes, are you still praising the Lord? Are we living in a way that reflects God's grace, mercy, and love to a dying world? Because as God has blessed us with this inheritance, when he's blessed us with this new life, remember his will, his purpose is that all will come to the saving knowledge of who he is. And he desires to use your life and my life to reflect his goodness to a dying world. So are you living in a way that demonstrates you belong to him? Is his seal of ownership on you? Now, I'm not endorsing anybody to go out and get a tattoo. Okay? I saw somebody just shake their head. Yeah, you did. But instead of having a tattoo, why not let your actions reveal you love Jesus? Because I'm pretty sure that wherever we get a tattoo, it may not always be seen, but your actions will. Today, beloved, I want to challenge us, after hearing this beautiful inheritance that God has, this is a challenge for us as believers. Are you still trying to gain earthly treasures? Are you still investing your time more in the things of this world than you are in the things of God? Because I can tell you this, part of God's plan in using us is that everything that we have belongs to God. And everything that we have is meant, listen carefully, as God has blessed us, we desire to bless others. As I mentioned to you, this celebration that happened in England, Pastor Bryce was very clear and upfront and said, all glory goes to God because he is the one that has sustained this church, not us. And God is the one who has given us an amazing inheritance that will never be taken away, that will never lack anything. And if you're still focused on the earthly treasures, what does that mean? You're not trusting in God. Well, Pastor, I need to provide for my kid. Yeah, I get that. Take care of that. But if you're a workaholic, where's your time with Jesus? If your hobbies are pulling you away from fellowshipping, how are you connecting with Jesus? Oh, Pastor, when I'm on that boat, man, oh, wow. I get it. I love being out on a boat. But while you're fishing, do you bring out your Bible? While you're fishing, is your conversation edifying to the Lord? While you're fishing and you're boasting about the fish that you caught, when was the last time we said, thank you, Jesus, for bringing this fish to me? Are we allowing the earthly treasures to steal away from the spiritual ones, the heavenly ones that God desires for us to partake in? And please understand and know, I'm not here to knock anybody's hobbies. I'm not here to say you can't have a boat. I'm not here to say you can't have and enjoy life. But if those things become more of a priority than God, then you are not trusting in God. You are trusting in your own plan. And if God has already established a plan that will lead us into eternity, why would we want to dare think that we can come up with a better plan? Beloved, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing in this world that will ever compare to Jesus. And this gift of everlasting life is available to all of us today. And I pray that for us as believers, that we would embrace this gift, that we would seriously surrender our life to Jesus, and that our life would be a demonstration that we would glorify him. And not only that, but I also want to challenge you with this, that our life today would be so captivated by God that all we would do is hunger for more of him. So that's for us as believers. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. But I also want to speak to those who are visiting, to those who may not have had, who have made a decision to follow Christ. And I hope and pray that you heard today clearly how much God loves you. Because I don't believe it's by any accident that you're here today hearing about God's amazing gift of everlasting life. And that gift is open to anybody. And if this is you today and you've been building your own little kingdom, maybe you've been focusing all on the earthly things, which, again, I'm not here to condemn those things. I'm not here to say those things aren't important. But as we know from what the scripture says, you place anything above Jesus, it will become an idol. And you will devote more of your time to whatever it is that has taken the place of God in your life. But I'm here to tell you, no matter how hard you strive, no matter how hard you obtain those things of this earth, they will leave you empty. They will not satisfy you the way that they promised. And I'm here to tell you that God's gift will not fade away. I'm not here to tell you that your life is going to be perfect. I'm not here to tell you that you're not going to have problems. You will have probably more problems. But here's the blessing. You'll have God with you. You will have God helping you through those problems. And the end result is we get to be with Him for all eternity. So this is you this morning, and you've never, ever given your heart to the Lord. And you're saying, you know, this inheritance that you're talking about sounds pretty cool. I want some of that. If this is you, how can you obtain that gift? Remember the phrase, you have to be in Christ. Believing in the finished work of the cross. Believing in why Jesus died. And believing that through His death, our sins can be forgiven. We can be at peace with God. And God will grant you His Spirit. God will give you His Spirit as a guarantee that you are now a part of His family. You belong to Him, and He will lead you into all eternity. So if this is you, right where you're at, I want to just encourage you to do this. Just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to lead you in prayer this morning. It would be an honor to watch a miracle take place in God touching lives and drawing people to Himself. I don't want to prolong this, but I just want you to know today, this is an amazing gift. If you have not received it, I would beseech you, I would plead with you today. It is the best gift that God has in store for you. One more minute. Father, I want to thank You so much for this morning, and I pray that Your word would continue, God, to help all of us grow in our relationship with You, that we would all understand the blessings that we have received because of You, Jesus, and that today our desire would be is to take ownership in this amazing relationship, that as You have called us Your own, that we would literally live for You, that You would become the priority in our life. And I also ask, God, that today You would remove anything, God, that is hindering us from trusting in You. Give us a hunger and a passion more for Your word and to seek after You. Give us more of a desire to see Your kingdom being built and not our own. God, give us the ability to think of others before ourselves. God, give us the ability to be there for those that are in need. God, give us the ability to be the extension of Your hands and feet. God, we want our life, once again, to reflect that we belong to You. So would You please help us, pour out Your Spirit upon us, empower us today to be Your witnesses wherever You plant us. And so we give You this time, we give You our hearts, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to encourage you this morning with this. After we have a time of worship, if you need any prayer, we're going to have an amazing prayer team up here. If you don't, continue to meditate on the blessings that we have. You can continue to read ahead into the next section of Scripture, verse 15 up to verse 23. We'll cover that next week. God bless you all and have a wonderful Sunday.